In starting the new year, we talked about last week, starting at the end. It's always smart when you're trying to figure out, when you set out on a new, whether it's a new project, you have something in mind at the end. So you need to start at the end and adjust your plans. And we're starting at the end knowing that everything centers around our heart in our response to God. Is that if we have our spiritual heart right in our relationship before God, everything else will start to sort itself out. And this is where starting today in the coming weeks, staying in that attitude and very much what we come from in our altar time. The next several weeks, I want to talk to you about asking God for big things in 2025. In fact, greater things. Greater than anything we've experienced with God. Listen, I believe that there is something special about starting the year that you take time to reflect and consider all of what God has done for you personally. Start considering where you're headed, what's in front of you. Some of you already know, man, this year there are certain things that are pressing. May not be bad things, but you just know this year, this is what's ahead, anticipating all of that's ahead that you can see. But I can tell you this, there's nothing like getting alone in the presence of God just to hear and let him to speak into your life that maybe there'll be areas that maybe you're not even attuned to. Maybe areas of your life that you don't quite understand, why am I where I'm at or facing what I'm facing? And just know this, that when you turn into God, God is going to reveal himself. And this is one of the great parts that we can take great comfort in, is God loves to speak to his people. He loves to speak to you. He loves to demonstrate his presence at work in your life. And so over the next couple weeks, I want to challenge myself and you to believe for greater things than we've ever experienced in our relationship with God. Believe God for greater things in every area of our life, at your work, in your marriage, in your family, in every dimension, in every way. God, we want you to go before us in a greater measure. And I believe this is just a key faith word that the Lord has given us so that we go into this new year, we can anticipate the good things that God wants to do, the great things he wants to do in your life. In fact, Psalm 65, verse 11 says this, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest, and even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. How many of you believe that God wants to do good things? Psalm 119 says this, you are good and you do good. See, we serve a God who wants to do amazing things in our life. He wants to do good things. I love Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, but I'm sharing the paraphrase version of the message. It says this, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working in us. Working within us. So in other words, as you and I come into the presence of God, as you and I can sense what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives, as you look, you and I look at him, God wants to do more than what we could ever ask or imagine. But if we're going to experience what God wants, in large parts, it's going to depend on our prayer life. It's great to be able to say, I want God to do this. I would love to see God do this. But it really comes down to how we pray. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be drilling in, much like we did last year. When we work through the Lord's Prayer, we'll be going through another prayer in Scripture. But we really need to walk through and just be able to say, God, help develop me in my prayer life. Help me to develop my relationship with you. Because do we really believe that God will do big things in our life? Do you believe God for things that you can't even ask or imagine? I mean, when we look back, and Pastor Stacy kind of did it a little bit. When we look back, not only the 26 years that we did Youth Alive, even though we watched God come through in incredible ways, not only on a financial side as a surplus or resource that God did as a missionary for a missionary budget to do things to reach teenagers, Boy, we can watch how God came through for our family. We can look back in the lives, the work that he did in our lives. But that's going back. I can track back before Youth Alive when we were youth pastoring in Racine, in Iowa and Oklahoma. I mean, I'm so grateful for how God came through. In fact, our first 5 years in ministry were actually very tough. We're probably some of the toughest rivers we ever had to face. In fact, in some points, you finally get to the point where you ask the question, God, is ministry really, is this it? Because if this is it, I don't know if I really want that. And it'd be the same way some people sometimes get hurt in a church and they kind of say, well, if this is what Jesus is all about, if this is what church life really is, I don't want anything of it. And then we had to settle ourselves in our prayer life to realize, no, here's what God has, a desire to do good things in our life because he's a good God and he will make a way if we stay in tune with him and trust him. And this is the part where I really want to challenge you is what we believe about God will determine if you're going to believe him for those types of big things, greater things to occur. If you're going to believe him for those things, it's going to depend on how you pray to see those things become reality. And I just want to take a few moments as we get started in our new series, Greater Than, is to really challenge us to be thinking in greater terms. But there's some preliminary observations about prayer that I want to make, four of them that I want to share with you before we get to our text, and it's this. One, some observations about prayer is if you don't believe God will do great things, you won't pray, believe, and trust him. Look, if you don't believe God wants to bless you, you won't pray. Because why pray? It'd be meaningless. Why do a supernatural exercise if you don't believe anything supernatural will take place? So we need to be believing, anticipating when we get into our time with God, because this is really critical that we settle in our hearts that God's a good God and he wants to do good things in you. Not just someone else, but you. And there is nothing self-centered about that statement. Because it's not about it's not about making your self-centered desires occur, but it's when we have a humbled heart, it's like, God, I just want you to be greater in my life. And I'll trust you with all the outcome, but I'm not going to be afraid to ask, God, would you do this? Because what's amazing is God will work out his plans to actually accomplish much of what we'd want to see, but he may do it way differently than what we would have conceived. And that's why we need to be able to ask more than what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And this is one of the great things, because scripture is really clear that God loves to do it and do it to degrees that will leave us speechless. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, what the scriptures mean to say is that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. There is God's plan for you is more than what you might even be able to articulate or even have a glimpse of what he wants to do. But that passage doesn't end there. Look at verse 10 as it goes on. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. See, this is you and I getting into the presence of God and we wait on him. And this is why it's so important, especially starting out a new year, that we quiet our hearts and say, God, what is it you want to do in my life? What is it that you want to do new in a greater measure that I need to trust you for? And lean into that. Second observation this morning is God isn't offended by us asking him for what he can only do. See, God doesn't get offended. In fact, he's quite honored when we come to him and we ask him for things that only he can do. That it's so out there that it's only he can do it. It's not we can generate it. It's just not, because really that starts to get rid of motives. It's like, God, I just need you to break out in my life in a way that is so unique, that is so just you. And when we begin to trust him, we'll watch God come through and do it an incredible intervention divinely in our life if we trust him. Thirdly, prayers are like prophecies. What we pray for is what we'll see God do. Prayers are prophecies in this sense. They predict your spiritual future. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken time to thought about this or to think on this, but show me the transcript of your prayers and I'll tell you the script of your life. Because the things you and I pray about is what's going to be worked out by the grace of God, by the working of his Spirit in and through us. So to answer those prayers, if we don't pray, then we're not going to see God work. You're wanting God to transform your marriage, your life, your workplace. You want God to provide for you, maybe a new job, maybe a how are you praying about it? If you're not praying, you're not going to see God work. My challenge to you is simply this today, is that we would make prayer a big reality in our life, because God wants you to ask him and to trust him. Fourth, God has determined that some things will only happen as we pray. See, God's determined that there's certain expressions of his power and his work that will only happen when we pray. Not too long ago, we hit this verse, James chapter 4, verse 2. Maybe you remember it in our series. Verse 2, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war and take it away from them, yet you don't have what you don't want because you don't ask God for it. In other words, there's a part here that when all the drama of whatever we need God to do in our life, there's a moment you settle your heart, just like we did today, and we just respond and say, God, make a way. I get alone with you. Here's what I need you to do. It's really a heart, gut, honest prayer. It's gut, honest conversations with God. Not putting on words to impress somebody else. Not feeling like you have to have this long vocabulary before God. But it's just to the point. Have you ever had conversations where you just get real with people? Like there's parts you might get a little short. This is what I'm trying to say, right? And there's just parts you get a little curt. This is what I'm trying to say. And there's parts in our prayer life that this is what James is saying. You don't have because you don't ask God. Just ask. Look at Luke chapter. This is what Jesus says is when it comes to asking and you'll receive. And he says it this way in Luke chapter 11. So I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I mean, when you and I pray, when we get alone with God in our prayer, it absolutely changes our life. We will walk in God's demonstration of God's power. We'll walk with a measure of his presence in our life in greater ways, and we'll even do greater works than what Jesus even did in his life. Look at John chapter 14. Verses 12 through 14, Jesus saying this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with God the Father. So you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so what the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So the key to seeing this greater works in our lives is that we ask him. Are you asking God for greater works in your life? Let me illustrate it with this way, and this will be our text. We'll be going to 1 Chronicles, so turn to 1 Chronicles in your Bible. But 1 and 2 Chronicles, and we'll specifically be going to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 today, but I want to introduce you to an individual there. And when you come to Chronicles, let me just kind of set the stage for you. This is a book that was written by the man named Ezra. He's a scribe, he's a teacher of God's word, and Ezra is coming to the people, and he's giving them kind of a life history lesson, because people have, at this point when Ezra is writing, The nation of Israel is going through a very difficult time. For 70 years, they've been exiled, and they've been captives in Babylon, and now they're coming back to the land of Israel, and they're coming back, but the city walls are completely broken down. The temple is utterly destroyed. And so as you can imagine, if there's no city, there's no capital, there's no economy, the land has just been dormant. Everything is just a shambles. And yet, as the people are coming into this difficult time, and it's a very harsh setting, Ezra starts to lead them into the season, and he sits down by sharing with them history. And it's designed to show that for the people, that when they look at the various people that have come in the past, each one of them had asked God for help. Each one watched God pass from one generation to the next, God's power and his presence. And so maybe you're facing a difficult time, and this message is for you today. Because God's brought you here, or maybe he's brought you online, to hear this word that if you seek the Lord, you can look to him and you can find him. You can find him today. He's looking for you. And when we get to this whole book of 1 Chronicles, we just see how God has been at work in history, and it starts clear back in chapter 1, the very beginning. You can go back to the first man, Adam, and he says it, Adam, Seth, Enosh. Ezra starts giving this genealogy that you can read in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and then you even get to chapter 4, and it's like this heavenly phone book that just has name after name, and some are impressive people of faith that you watch God do incredible things through. And yet when we get to this one passage that will be our text for the next several weeks, Ezra starts listing names, and then he has to stop. And it's almost, and really I feel like it's like the leading of the Lord. He stops because he gets to this name that's very unique, and it's Jabez. It's a very unique, and he's listing all these names, and it's like the Holy Spirit speaking to him, and, well, now Jabez, there's something you need to know about this guy, that I want to tell you something about him that you need to take note of. So let's start reading, beginning in verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brother, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the Lord of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me, you would enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, so that you would keep me from harm, so that it may not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. What an interesting story. I mean, it's interesting in the sense that there's this Jabez guy, and he's in this list of names. All of them in the past before this are listing their father, and then the person, and then who the sons of that person. And it just this triple, just rippling effect. But you get to Jabez, and he breaks the whole pattern. You don't see Jabez's dad mentioned. Leaves Bible scholars making you wonder, because there's nothing in Scripture that lets us know definitively that the dad's nowhere in the picture. So perhaps he had passed away. Jabez never, I mean, it's not mentioned. But what's amazing is what is mentioned is his mother calling his name Jabez. And she's naming him. And what's interesting, if you get to Jabez in the Hebrew, it's a play on words in that it is to say it sounds like something like the word pain. It sounds like the Hebrew word for pain. So his mother names him, in essence, pain, because she bore him in pain. But it's more than just a pun, which we know giving birth is not a pun, right, ladies? It is quite painful. Not, again, that I would know. That's why I'm saying, you all know, right? All right. And yet there is something that Bible scholars really believe is that, and Ezra is trying to make sure we note something unique in the name of Jabez. Because, in fact, many Bible scholars will say that there was a whole lot of family drama or pain that was going on much beyond the childbirth. And because otherwise, all of our name would probably be pain in some form or manner. And yet there's something unique with our names that with Jabez that Ezra wants us to know. So in two verses, his name is mentioned three times. And anytime God mentions something more than once, we need to pay attention, especially when it relates three times to the story in these two verses. And God's saying, hey, I'm trying to tell you something about this man, Jabez. And so she's naming him pain because she bore him in pain, but talking about much more than what is at work. And a lot of scholars assume that, and very likely, that the father had died. But it's a very sorrowful time for Jabez's entire family. And so what's tough is Jabez had to grow up with a name that symbolized some of the worst moments of a family. And as a child, you carry those things through life. And there's some of you in here that kind of get this story of how things that can happen when you are a child carries over into your adult life. So maybe it could be things, and it's hard for us to process and to get through, but maybe there are things going on in your life that, let's say this, maybe you were a surprise baby. And sometimes surprise translates to a huge inconvenience. maybe you felt unwanted. And it happens to a number of people that they... an unplanned pregnancy isn't treasured. It ends up becoming an uneasiness, and your life symbolizes that. Or maybe you'd understand it this way. Your parents told you that you were the problem. You were the problem child. All you do is you create problems. And it's followed you your whole life. You've grown up in, your growing up years centered around you being the problem. Or maybe it's you've never measured up to expectations. You were the clumsy one of the family. Maybe you weren't the good-looking one in the family. Maybe you were the one that was never athletic enough. And the stories go on and on. You just never measured up. And yet what's amazing is Jabez, very similarly than just like these, that things can occur earlier in your life and it has a tendency to carry over. And Jabez's name... and you can only see it compounded because his name begins to symbolize that. The unexpected pregnancy, the unwanted pregnancy, all of that. Jabez's name is carrying over, and Jabez is praying for God to deliver him from that. God, do a work in my life that is so different, that breaks from that. And so this is my encouragement to you today, is to really, and especially maybe some of those situations or examples really hit home to you, because there's parts when you come into a relationship walking with the Lord, and if you've not found a place of resolvement with those things in the past, it can influence your experience and your walk with God even right now. Because if you feel like you're the problem, one of the biggest things then when you need to be asking God for help, you won't do it. Because you don't want to be a problem to God. You'll approach prayer going, God, I'd really need your help on this, but I don't want to inconvenience you. And so God is wanting to challenge us in this new year to ask him, but not just ask, but ask greater. And so we begin over the next several weeks, and we see this amazing transformation that we're going to learn about that's woven into Jabez's story, because here's a guy that looks at his situation now as an adult. He recognizes that the pain not only has been his name, but it appears it's become his identity. What he's walked through as a child, as going up through his growing up years, it's just being cycled up again and again in different stages of his life on down the line. So what does a person who's in this situation do? And here's Jabez, and God changes him because he prays. So here's the good news for everybody in the room today. God can bring you not only out of your past, but he can free you from the past in a way that is a whole new you. He can do something that it'll be so new, it'll be such a blessing that it rests upon you the entire length of your life, and it's going to be hard for you to imagine, but he will do it. So watch what it says about Jabez, and I want you to notice this in verse 9. Jabez, what it says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So when Ezra's introducing him to us, he's letting us know this guy's name, Jabez, this idea, it might mean pain, but the way he lived his life was more honorable. I love how one commentator paraphrased it and was this way, and I'll bring it up on the screen. Jabez was one who was more noteworthy, more impressive, more weighty in the community than his brothers. Ironically, though, his mother had named him Jabez, which sounds like the word for pain, because when he was born, she said, "I am in pain and anguish." So what does this man do from being plagued by the past that his name sums up and has become his identity? What does he do? How does this guy have a name like that and yet becomes more honorable and more influential than his brother? And it's this, and the answer is one statement. It's that he prayed. Jabez saw God do a change in his life because he prayed. And it's just not that he prayed, it's what he prayed. And we're going to be learning about this in the next several weeks, but I want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit begin to continue to work. What are you praying God for, to God for? What are you wanting to ask him to specifically do in your life? Over this next week, you've seen it in the bulletin, we have a whole list of prayer needs that specifically for Calvary Church, I want you to be praying through. We're going to have that whole list that, what are you looking God to do? And so join us tonight for the worship night, because we're going to pray over some of these lists of things that we'll be looking to God for in this next year. But I want to encourage you, pray. How is it that you want God to work in your life? Some of you, and as I've been talking, God's been putting things into your heart because he's been speaking to you. He's been laying things on your heart, in your mind. So begin to pray and watch what God will do. Don't be afraid to ask God for big things in 2025, because he wants to come through in your life in a greater way. And we get to celebrate that, even in some forms in a few moments, in a time of water baptism. Worship team, if you'll come, we'll prepare. But I want to challenge you, what are you believing God for and asking him to do this year? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us in such a measure that, God, it's hard for us to even understand that even at the darkest moments when we don't feel you're there, you are there. And Father, you will take and transform some of the most hurting moments. You can redeem it into a future. That's amazing. And so, God, the heartbeat of this comes back to, will we trust you? Will we trust you enough to reach out and to call on your name? So if you're here today, and I encourage you, if you do not know that Jesus is your leader and savior of your life, this is where it all begins. The transformation, the new life, to see a prayer just like Jabez become answered. He wants to do that in your life. It's not wishful thinking. It is a promise that God will do good things to your life if you trust him. All things, even the worst things in your life, will become good. He'll turn it to good if we will trust him. So if you're here today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you need to rededicate that trust to him. And if that's you, with every head bowed, I'm just going to ask you to look up my direction. If you need to rededicate or for the first time, make a decision. If that's you, would you just look my way, and I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. I want everyone to pray this prayer. If this is you and you need to rededicate or for the first time make a decision to the Lord, that this relationship of faith really starts in a form of a prayer, and it's very much like this. And so everyone share this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me, even through the most hurtful moments, painful moments of my life. Forgive me of my sin, trying to live life my own way. Forgive me. I give my life to you. Lead my life and be my Savior. I trust you. Write a new story in my life. I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.